This retreat was given November 15th to 17th, 2013 by Father Daniel Rayer at Our Lady of Good Counsel Retreat House in Waverly, Nebraska. This and other recordings are available at our website, goodcounselretreat.com.
So tonight, as we prepare ourselves to begin this retreat, when we go away on retreat, we imitate Jesus, our Lord, who we hear in the Gospels often withdrew himself away to pray. We have many great examples of this in the Gospel of St. Luke that speak about Jesus going away to pray at various important points in his ministry. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 12, we are told that Jesus departed to the mountain and spent the night in prayer before he chose the 12 apostles. In Luke 9, verse 18, he prayed before Peter made his great profession of faith that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. Just a few verses later, then, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain to pray before his great transfiguration. In chapter 11, Jesus went off to pray before he taught his disciples to pray the Our Father. Jesus, on the Mount of Olives at the Last Supper, of course, went into the garden, before his death, to prepare for his death, and prayed, "Father, take this cup away from me, but still not my will, but yours be done." And we are told that his prayer was so intense that his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. So tonight we join Jesus and unite ourselves with him in prayer to our Heavenly Father. Let us imitate Christ as we withdraw for these next few hours, next day and a half or so, that we withdraw from our daily cares, so we have a time away from work, a time to rest and to rejuvenate the soul and rejuvenate our lives. Of course, at the heart of a retreat, we should always, pray to the Holy Spirit that he will work in our lives. And the great way that the Holy Spirit works in our lives is through our silence. And so an important element of retreat is silence. And so this will be a silent retreat, except for, I think, on Saturday evening after the evening meal. There's a recreation time period when we can talk and so forth. But the rest of the retreat is meant to be of silence, so that we can be attuned to the message of the Holy Spirit. And it's also a great act of charity to respect the silence for your brothers. Maybe I feel that I don't need the silence, but just maybe your brothers here, maybe they need that silence. And so we have that respect for each other in that regard in trying to keep the silence. At a retreat, of course, a big part of a retreat is the conferences that are given by the retreat master. But it's also important to recognize that, the heart of retreat and the way that the Holy Spirit might work may not necessarily be in the words that I say. Maybe nothing that I say during these next day and a half will have any impact in your life, or maybe it will. But you can still have a moving retreat, even if I don't say anything that impacts you. Because the Holy Spirit can work in mysterious ways, and God will speak to you in the way that he knows you need to hear. So it could be during the conferences that I give, or it could be in the, maybe if you bring your own spiritual reading while we're here in times outside of the conferences, in the liturgical text of the Mass, the readings of Scripture, or just the fruit of your own silence with the Lord in prayer. Today the Church, as ever any other time in history, needs holy, not only holy priests and sisters, but we also need holy men and women in the lay faithful. And this is at the very heart of the Second Vatican Council's call to holiness. Was the universal call to holiness, that this is a call for everyone in the body of Christ. And a great time to evaluate our lives is on retreat. In our own personal prayer, in the silence and reflection, is there anything in my life that I need to change? Do I need to make any changes in my life to become the person God has called me to be, or to borrow the words of Matthew Kelly, great speaker, to become the best version of myself. What is it in my life? Is there something that God is moving me to make a change? We should. When I was asked to prepare asked to give this retreat, and then there's always a time of preparation and of what am I going to talk about. So we have this first talk tonight, which will be a brief talk, but the main talks, there are four conferences plus two other masses, so basically six more talks that we will have tonight. Tonight will be the shortest one as we prepare and begin. But I decided to read through the Roman Pontifical that gives the ceremony for the installation of acolytes and lectors. And you may or may not remember at your installation that the bishop gives a ritual homily. There's a homily built into the ritual that the bishop is to give. And as I read through both the rite for the lector and the acolytes, what jumped out to me, and maybe what the Holy Spirit was calling me to speak about, was in the homily during the acolyte ceremony. The bishop says, "You should strive to live more fully by the Lord's sacrifice." And then it goes on, "so that you may offer yourselves daily to God as spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to Him through Jesus Christ." So that's kind of the theme of our retreat. "So that you may offer yourselves daily to God as spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Him through Jesus Christ." We know that we are winding down to the end of this year of faith that now Pope Emeritus Benedict called a year ago. And part of it was that it began on the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the Second Vatican Council. And one of the, at least the first document of the Second Vatican Council was the document on the liturgy, Sacra Sanctum Concilium. And there in that document on the liturgy and the Mass, in paragraph number 48, it says the following: "The Church therefore earnestly desires that Christ's faithful, when present at this mystery of faith," meaning the Mass, "should not be there as strangers or silent spectators. On the contrary, through a good understanding of the rites and prayers, they should take part in the sacred action, conscious of what they are doing, with devotion and full collaboration. They should give thanks to God, offering the Immaculate Victim not only through the hands of the priest, but also together with him. They should learn to offer themselves." So three little things from that paragraph that the Church saying to us, that we, as we celebrate the Mass, you are not here to be strangers or silent spectators. The Mass is not entertainment. Sometimes it's unfortunate, maybe we hear, and we've probably known people who say, "Oh, the Mass is boring, I don't get anything out of it." But that's not the heart of what the Mass is about. We don't go to Mass to be entertained. It's more about we are called to enter into the mystery and what we are called to give. So it's not what I get only as much as I put into it. And so as it goes on to say that we are called to be conscious of what we are doing, to understand properly what's happening at the Mass, so that we learn to offer ourselves in the Mass. And so that's hopefully what I'll be talking a lot today about, is looking at the Mass and hopefully that aspect of offering ourselves to God. As we offer, and really to understand that offering ourselves really is an essential part of our worship of God, not an optional thing. It really is of the essence of what we are called to do when we worship God. And so hopefully the coming talks will hopefully give some more insight and reflection into that and help us to look more deeply at the Mass, because the Mass is our highest form of worship, and it is the way and it is the place where we truly do offer ourselves most principally.